Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
So we broke with convention, and instead of having a mailing list subscriber choose this final movie for our theme, it was chosen at the meetup.
Yeah.
By a consensus of the people at Thursday's meetup. If you're interested in doing that, patreon.com/notlp.
Yep.
And it was Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yeah, which I was hoping to watch anyway. I mean, now that I've seen it, would go back and not hope as much.
It was misplaced hope.
Your hope sunk.
You're a hopo with no shotgun.
I'm a hopo with no shotgun.
It's Rutger Hauer month.
Yeah.
More like Nobo with a shotgun.
Oh, Sheriff Lobo.
Oh.
Remember when Dan got in that fight at the Lobo?
I do.
Oh, that was the bar on Roseanne. Mm-hmm. Lobo means wolf.
Yeah, and fights all the time.
Garcon means boy. And knocking the bottom out of that ass. That's the meaning of that. We were trying during the intro of the show.
No, I just
that
asked. Ass. Because Freddie that said ass. That for to
I
be
said
funny.
To be advised.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock the bottom out of that ass.
And then.
Well, thanks for the warning. I appreciate it.
I wanted to make sure that I had the correct interpretation of such a phrase, which I always meant to be a good thing. If somebody's going to knock the bottom out of your ass, that's a good thing for you. But I was like, wait a minute.
Unless they're like giving you an enema or something.
Exactly.
Like, well, I would say that's good too. Because you're trying to get stuff out of there.
Yeah. Well, you think the doctor ever came out to the waiting room and was like, we tried everything we could, but we couldn't knock the bottom out of her ass.
I think so.
That's how I want news broken to me. Yeah. Funnily.
Yeah. Well, at least I don't have blank. Insert disease here for maximum humor. I'm afraid to joke about any disease.
I am too.
I'm
a little stitious.
You got the stitious.
Yeah, that's a disease I for sure have.
Last week, Kelly was out of town.
Yeah.
And we decided to do a little fun, just kind of hang, and we watched and talked about Hard Rock Zombies.
Yeah.
Which I just found out is on Shudder. It was streaming as of a couple days ago.
So that's wild, really?
Yep.
And so they probably have
and
the
Slaughterhouse
clean.
Rock.
Slaughterhouse Rock is also on Shudder.
Yep.
The whole time we were discussing, will Kelly like this? Will Kelly like this?
Yes. Yeah. Kelly, I think you might like this movie.
But we don't know anymore what you like.
Kelly's having a little bit. He's coughing.
So.
You gonna live back?
He's got his stitches is acting up.
What?
You're gonna pull your stitches out.
This is my. This is my glaucoma medicine.
His. I can see clearly now. Ask your doctor about dank ass weed.
Did you like it?
I think we all loved it.
Hobo with a Shotgun?
No.
Hard Rock Zombies.
Yes.
Hard Rock Zombies, yes. John gave it to us. And I knew from his enthusiasm in the giggling, describing it, that I was going to enjoy myself. And it's a very unique movie. It's got tones of John Waters with a little bit of like Microwave Massacre or whatever the hell it was called. It's very low rent, but it's got a lot of personality.
Some Texas Chainsaw in it. A lot of Texas Chainsaw, actually.
It's super trying to be Texas Chainsaw, but with more
and
jokes.
It got the monsters a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like zombies.
Yeah.
I like Hard Rock.
Yeah, I know you do.
So, I mean, those are two things.
And this has both of those things.
Those are two things.
I used to tell Amy if I wanted her to check something out, I'd be like, it's like Dragonlance books and Bare Naked Ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
because those were things I was into like
was your
15 years ago.
That'd be on your Tinder profile.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if that's still how Like you got he tried to talk you into things and it was just like no problem for you to resist. You'd be like, oh, really? Dragonlance, you say?
If I say that, she reads it as the opposite.
Now you don't want her to do it?
No, when I say, like, it's like, if I try to tell her it's like something she likes, she's like, then it's not at all like that. She's a contrarian.
I don't think this is correct.
You would be like, that is nothing like Dragonlance. And I'll be like, it's called Breaking Bad.
That's so contrarian. That's so contrarian of you, Amy, to disagree that you're contrarian.
With all of
how dare you disagree with the fact that
you just proved his point. You are a contrarian.
That essentially early Black Sabbath and Bare Naked Ladies are the same band.
You're a mess. I was very excited to see that Hard Rock Zombies has a streaming home right now. So get on it, people in the U.S. I don't know. I can't tell you about
other
places.
I wonder if it's like a better copy than...
I'm sure.
...transfer than we had.
It probably is because they did Vinegar Syndrome put it out on Blu-ray with a double set with Slaughterhouse Rock, which we just watched too. Mm-hmm. Which is...
I slept through Tony Basil.
I've got the Vinegars. Oh, Tony Basil's in what now?
It's called
Slaughterhouse Rock.
Slaughterhouse Rock.
Is it from her time or is it like a now time?
Her time.
Okay.
It's from the 80s. That's and good. She plays a prison ghost.
A dancing
ghost. But she's her band. It's ghost. Her and her band are also ghosts. It's kind of got a little bit of a Beetlejuice with no money vibe.
Yeah.
And it's also got kind of a Nightmare on Elm Street with no money vibe too.
Do you like it?
It had a lot of character. Like if you love those movies.
It was pretty in the face.
It's real. It's like the acting is so
How's
bad.
That ass though?
Great personality. Would love to knock the bottom out of that personality.
The lead actor always sounds like mildly annoyed, right? Like even when he's like,
well, that's the style of acting, right?
Yeah. When people try to help him, he'll be like, "So, I guess thanks for the help." Like, that's like his whole performance, no matter what the scenario throughout the whole movie.
Oh, this sounds fun too.
So it is kind of fun in that respect. Yeah, Tony Basil has got some presence in this for sure. She has 6 or 7 costume changes as a ghost, and they're all wild.
What? Ghosts can change clothes?
Yeah, because they're rock band. They all have, like, and this was, like, post-New Wave.
Where does a ghost keep their clothes? Do you have a ghost closet?
Yeah, it's on another plane of existence.
Mm. Yeah.
That they can
Or a access. Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of something that fits thematically with ghosts where they would store their clothes.
I tried. I couldn't.
A haunted dresser.
The only thing I thought was Ghost Protocol. No, that's not anything. I just kept thinking it, and I was like, that's not what you want to say. I was trying to fit it in.
You guys really fucked up by bringing up what a ghost stores their clothes in. That's
so...
Now that's all I can think about.
I can hear the wheels turning right now.
Yeah, like what do they put their clothes in? They don't.
Well, I've never seen a ghost change clothes.
Do the clothes just materialize when Tony Basil feels like a hat?
Let's go to the science. Let's check the science.
We need to get with the writer of the movie to discuss which mythology they were using.
I mean, I just assumed that the ghosts are stuck with the clothes they died in, right?
It's called SCP. It's called Spooky Clothes Phenomenon. And you can be it can be detected if you just hold like a Bed Bath Beyond coupon up in the air, and if it turns purple.
So, like, can you run across their ghost clothes and like, hey, did the clothes die too?
Then they disappear.
Yeah, I always wonder about that when people can change shapes in movies, and they also change, like, they had to make a layer of clothing out of their own skin.
Well, yeah, like the holodeck on Star Trek. I mean, television and movies realized they probably couldn't just constantly have naked people.
But they go dressed to the holodeck, remember? They always go in costumes because they'll show them walking down the hallway and like, why are you dressed for? I'm going to be Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be Flash Gordon.
Okay. What,
the holodeck doesn't make the clothes for you. You have to actually wear the clothes.
The replicator can make the clothes for you.
Yeah, the replicator makes the clothes. The holodeck creates the environment.
I feel like it's not as exciting when you can just have like whatever a lot of costume you want.
Yeah.
It's like, oh...
So the holodeck can make worlds and
I am
virtual
not,
things, but it can't make clothes.
Andy, I am not prepared to argue about Star Trek with you.
I'm not even sure.
It's the same technology, right?
Seems like a waste of resources.
If you're a real Trekkie, you might know the answer to this.
Holodeck, it's kind of a misnomer because holograms can't come to life and attack you.
They're hard light holograms.
But that's too hard.
Well, they have safety protocols on the holiday.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I think that science is a little...
It's too hard.
Even for science fiction.
Do you remember how much trouble we had getting the levels right for band practice?
It's a bit much.
Yeah. And we were like really trying to tweak stuff. And even at the end, I was like, I don't hear any microphone there at all.
Yeah.
Now, if we take all those parameters and blow them out into the fifth dimension in outer space, we're never going to figure this shit out, is what I'm saying.
I will agree with that. I will also say that it's okay that the holodeck is probably a brand name. And it's just like there are a lot of brands that kind of, they make it sound like one thing and they're like, but that's not really what it is.
Right.
So I get it. That's just marketing. Because people know what holograms are.
Oh, so it's like Kleenex. That's just the name of it.
Yeah.
Because remember the Doctor was a hard light hologram.
So
Voyager.
Picardo.
Yeah.
Hmm? What?
Picardo.
I know.
Comma Robert. Remember, he was in Munchies.
Yeah, and Howling.
Comma the. He gave me a piece of his mind.
And China Beach.
On top of all the Hard Rock Zombies, John gave you some DSV toys.
I have Sequest fucking toys.
Right. That's up there, amazing.
I have a Ted Raimi fucking Sequest action figure.
They have so many accessories. Kelly, you would love this.
Man, I would love that. Probably. John is your hookup, girl.
He's like my, he doesn't know it now, but we're best friends forever because he gave me the Ted Raimi one.
Yeah. And he gave you Zefren Cochrane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I got some James. Z-list level character from Voyager.
Yeah, there's a couple. That's fine. He can give me all his duplicates that he doesn't
Don't
care about.
Don't you feel like some of these characters that they get the toys, love. They were very generous with making toys for every character, and especially Star Trek.
Well, of course, because they have to sell them.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, look at all these characters. Well, we like
they didn't sell them because there's some clearance stickers on
them. Well, now the strategy is they try to only make the most popular ones.
Yeah.
But back then, they literally, I think they knew they had kind of a completist
audience.
You
cannot tell me.
It was the Star Wars toys thing because it's like they're like, we can make a toy that we can sell out of every little alien creature. Well, we can make one out of every Voyager extra that walks down the hall.
I think they have to because the main characters just have one outfit. So you can't make a bunch of those, right? You have to
change outfits.
No, they just have the uniform, right?
No, well, they go on shore leave. They go to the holodeck. We just covered that.
I got a Borg Picard and a regular Picard.
Yeah, they have variants of all the characters. Mm.
There's a Picard from this finale wearing
the cowboy
as an old man.
Oh, the old man.
I got a Wesley Crusher, bully damage Wesley Crusher, where his books
this
get knocked out of
Star
his hands.
Trek podcast. I mean, it can be if you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm almost nervous. Like, should I have told anybody that I have this Ted Raimi action figure
in
my
home? In case they might come and get it.
Like, I have a security system, but I feel like the people that are going to come after this.
Probably people that listen to the show.
Sophisticated.
Yeah.
Very sophisticated. It's going to be like that movie Entrapment with Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, you're going to have lasers and somebody's going to have their ass up in the air.
Some nerd that really loves Ted Raimi's character from Sequest is going to be in a leather suit coming through the window.
Oh, and it wouldn't be fun if you married Ted Raimi.
And my name would be Amy Raimi.
That would be.
Damn!
You have a kid's name, Jamie.
Jamie. Yep. Raimi.
And Mamie. You can bring back the name Mamie.
No.
You leave the name the Mamie same-y. Dead and buried.
I think that name is just racist, right?
Mamie?
That's Mamie.
That's Mamie.
But I thought they were associated with each other.
No, Auntie Mame is like a Mame is like a different that's a different thing.
I'm dumb.
You're not dumb. Well, you're not dumb.
Mame is what a bear does.
That's shit in the woods.
Sometimes.
does a Pope Mame?
Well,
the Catholic Church named a lot of
ask all the people during the Inquisitions and stuff, and all the kids that got
what a show
molested.
Well,
you'd have to whisper the word molest
as it was coming out of my mouth. I'm like, why are you doing that anyway?
No, it's okay to say the Catholic Church as an organization is corrupt.
Oh, they're disgusting. We saw Top Gun Maverick.
We did.
Well, Andy refused. He has religious grounds.
He had a permission.
He's got an exemption, yeah.
In spite of Freddie's insistence on
Freddie's years to convert me to
Tom Cruise.
I don't want you to be a Tom Cruise fan.
We're not doing it again.
I just don't want you to deny yourself major cultural milestones. That's where my issue comes
in. The movie was fun.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably don't need to watch it again, but I liked it a lot. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I love how they just remade Star Wars A New Hope for the entire third act.
Yeah, they sure did.
They really did. It's basically Star Wars.
Well, is it nice? Is Hollywood back with this movie?
It seems really well in the theater.
It seems like we haven't had summer blockbusters in a while.
Yeah, yeah. And then we saw the trailer for the
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, but there was something else we saw a trailer for. It was for July, next July.
Next July?
Yeah.
What kind of movie was it?
Damn, they're really
pornographic film.
It was like an action-y.
It's a Devil and Ms. Jones
was
reboot.
Was it a Marvel or a... Fuck. Anyway, I was like, okay. Like, they're really bringing back blockbusters for July. I see what you're doing here. The thing that would have launched you out of the theater screaming in rage, Andy, is Tom Cruise fucking introing the movie.
Oh, my God.
So glad you're here in the theaters with us. You know, it's like some people are still a little scared of coronavirus. Fuck you, Tom Cruise.
I just felt like that was his out of touch. I feel like he does genuinely love what he's doing. And he feels like Santa Claus, I think.
Yeah.
Bringing us all these these big, broad action type movies. So he's like, I'm so happy that we could delight you.
I feel like I am 5'6" today. Yeah.
He's 5'7".
It was the weirdest little thing.
I don't know.
That's what he says.
That's what he is.
Yeah. So that was the Tom Cruise at his most cruisy.
Yeah, he just had
was just very happy.
Insane sparkle in his
eyes. Well, that's the problem. Happiness is it's kind of creepy.
He's a creepy dude. Like the whole thing is just very bizarre. I just want to carve. I want a robot made to his specifications to take over.
Like
we don't need the real person part of Tom Cruise.
That was a short joke too.
You just want him to be an actor.
He would definitely fit in your cabinet.
I hated Small Wonder.
It was a horrific show. The idea of it.
I watched probably every episode that they made.
Yeah, me too, probably.
But I felt like it was so low rent.
Yeah.
At the time.
Cheap ass fucking show.
As a child, yeah. I was like a podcaster. I was like, this show is low rent AF, man. It looks like they spent about $40 on it.
It's like your earliest hate watch, maybe. Like, it was like one of the first times I watched something I knew I didn't like.
But they got Edie McClurg.
Edie McClurg is awesome.
But they got her.
Yeah. And the bits.
That's probably where their budget all went.
The bits with her in it. Are the best parts
remember
of the
how
show?
She used to go no that was like her catchphrase on Small Wonder and
I want that on a t-shirt.
I bet that's their whole budget went to
I gotta get an eBay see that exists.
Yes you do.
She was
or Edie McClurg doll like an action figure. You pull the string, it says no
and you can get different ones. You can get the one where she does the speech from Ferris Bueller.
Or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah,
you're fucked. I love her.
And, you know, I do, too.
Eating She's Raul. Great.
Yeah.
I loved that movie good so for much.
So, you guys want
to... Top Gun is a good time.
Yeah, Top Gun. I want to say Lewis Pullman. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, our co-star.
Yeah, our co-star. Andy always calls him our co-star. He was in Strangers Pray at Night.
Yeah, you guys co-starred.
We were in the room with him.
Yeah.
We were in the room with
him. Who was he in the movie?
He was the son.
Oh, right.
And...
Which
really
movie,
good.
Kelly?
Maverick.
Oh, and Maverick, he was Bob.
Right, Bob.
He was the one with glasses. Right,
I got you.
Bob with glasses.
Yeah. That's his whole character trait. Hi, glasses. Bob.
Great character. Great actor. Everything I've seen him in, he's so good.
What else is he in?
Strangers Pray at Night. Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yeah.
God, I'm trying to remember what else.
You're just in something else.
Yeah, I just saw him in a couple of other projects.
He's Bill Pullman's kid.
Yeah.
And he's great, man.
Yeah.
And the guy who played Goose's son was really,
holy
really good.
Shit.
Miles Teller?
Yeah. I cannot get name? Over how much yeah. he looked.
He's
like
been in a
Anthony
ton of shit. He's
Edwards.
He's like a big dude now.
Lewis Pullman's on Outer Range. And he was on Catch 22, the TV, which is, if you haven't seen Catch 22, it's only 6 episodes. It's the novel.
It.
You know the novel,
I
right?
Didn't where catch it.
Ah!
Oh, shit.
Jesus, I'm sorry, Andy.
Yes, I know the novel Catch-22.
I thought you were serious. Well, you know, like, it's great. It's about war profiteering, and it's a comedy.
It's absurdist. Yeah. He's on Outer Range?
He's on Outer Range. I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't either, but I really want to.
Isn't that Josh Brolin?
Yeah, and the guy from Schitt's Creek.
There's a lot of guys on Schitt's Creek.
You know.
The good-looking vet guy, or...
The husband. David's husband. Boris
Patrick, right? Is that his name?
Wait, which one?
Dan Eugene Levy's Levy's boyfriend.
Kid? Eugene Levy?
No, his... Dan Levy's boyfriend.
In the television program.
Oh, yeah. The one who runs the apothecary shop or whatever like the hell it is. One
of
the
very mainest of characters.
He is the mainest of. What was the Crow movie she made?
I hate you.
I love that show. Amy hasn't seen it yet.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, it's, you, that is a show. You're going to love the way it looks on you because there is so little conflict.
Love it.
It's always resolved.
It's sweet. You like sweet, right?
It's so easy. You're gonna slide right into it like a
second skin.
Yeah,
made of leather.
What's that old saying? It goes in easy.
Goes in easy, comes out greasy. Batman greasy. Took him to a movie. Batman, the movie was groovy. Batman, we went back to his house. Batman, we laid down on the couch.
Oh.
Batman. It went in easy.
It's the idea of it coming
Batman,
out greasy.
Batman, it came out greasy.
Batman.
But we used no grease. I don't understand.
That reminds me. I had a chicken go bad. I had an entire chicken in my fridge.
Did you just start robbing liquor stores and shit?
Yeah.
That'd be adorable.
It was cold-blooded.
It just smelled like...
Real POS.
You know.
Yeah, it smelled like...
A carcass.
Eggs. Like rotten eggs. Anyways, you want to move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
We'll give it a shot.
We'll do it.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
The women of our parents' generation, they
were more into femininity. You know what I mean?
Because
I think you would just look great in a dress. If you were...
Pretty much done, actually, thank you.
If it's cool, I'm just gonna snag these leftovers.
I don't know how you do it, Molly.
Do what?
Dating people.
No. You do not need a man, okay?
So don't play the games. Just be you, straight out the gate.
Do you live around here? Because I live on aisle 6.
That was terrible.
It was kind of terrible.
What's his Instagram? I want to stalk a little bit.
He doesn't have one.
Say what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. See, that's shady.
Let's play a game. Tell me something you don't want me to know.
I hate this.
Okay.
Put all our hopes of finding happiness through someone else.
Yeah.
Girl, you are all digmatized and I haven't even seen this dude.
What's going on?
I'm going to tell you, but you're going to freak out.
No, this isn't happening.
Yeah, it's happening. No games. Not what you wanted. It's about giving. Giving yourself over to somebody. Becoming one forever. That's love. Forget this.
I'll tell you what's
straight girl's fantasy come true, right?
I'll tell you what's like really weird is to watch that incredibly intense trailer and see the little Disney Plus logo in the bottom right corner the whole time.
Mm-hmm. That is weird.
You just watched the trailer, right, Freddie? Because I only heard it. Did it show a lot?
No, I kind of gave me the gist that it looks like it was like she was. Well, you're gonna talk about it, but the vibe I get is she's like. It's like a
Don't watch the trailer.
It feels like it starts off as like a Hitch kind of thing.
Don't watch the trailer. It's better going in blind.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the marketing kind of gives it away. So don't look at the poster either.
Don't listen to this review.
Just watch it. Shut up, everybody. Just do it.
Go poke your eyes out and jam sticks into your ears.
I mean, I really want to watch it now that I've seen the trailer. I had no idea this movie existed.
Yeah, it's... I don't know if they...
Fresh.
It's like a Hulu original, right? Or
Disney. Disney Plus, Fox Searchlight.
Yeah.
Disney owns Fox. So
yeah. I mean, it had the first thing that popped up was Disney. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It's on Hulu.
Yes, Fresh was really fresh.
Oh shit!
Andy, it's you
fresh.
Still really
rated 99% fresh.
Well, I
you
don't
still really
get,
like the good these movies.
I don't. I haven't gotten a lot of Russian roulettes lately, and even the ones I do get, they're like just okay or.
But
bad.
You said you stand in solidarity with Ukraine, so I wasn't giving you any Russian roulette.
Okay,
movies.
Okay. So we call it Ukraine roulette now.
Freedom roulette.
Freedom roulette.
Freedom roulette. That was. I was a bad joke that I made that was just stupid, and then you guys made it more fun. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for always having my back.
Did you say freedom roulette?
Mm-mm.
Oh, good. I didn't want to take your thing.
She took your thing.
They took her baby.
They took her baby. It's never going to leave. Reflex. Oh, my God. The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
That's hard to find, too.
I know.
I want to watch it all the time.
Oh, I would kill for some fiestas right now, whatever those are.
Y'all got fiestas.
Are we bad for loving that movie so much?
Oh, I love Trash.
It just felt like my family, like big extended parts of my family.
I never watched it.
It's pretty great.
I really recommend it.
It seems like something I probably...
It'll make you feel better about your life, no matter where
it'll make
you are.
You sad too, though.
There's the things we're talking about, and then there are the other things, which is the stuff about Appalachia. I don't think I don't really understand Appalachia because that wasn't really part of my life until I moved here.
What we really got off topic. Didn't we?
Just let me finish my thought.
No, I'm just realizing you're not talking about the movie.
I'm just a little off topic. I'm tangenting.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
It's just there's history. There's like they have these cultural like things that I never knew about. There's interesting things in there, Kelly. It's not just about like looking at the freaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the history of the family itself is really cool, right?
Yeah. So anyway,
I follow now. I really thought the movie was set in Appalachia for a minute.
We got off topic because I don't want to spoil this movie too much at all.
We'll talk about how cute Sebastian Stan is.
I'm a Stan.
Oh, that's him. I watched the trailer on a little phone.
It's Bucky. So.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
Yeah.
Is he bulky Bucky or skinny
he's skinny.
Bucky? Okay.
Oh,
bulky Bucky.
I prefer skinny Bucky.
Yeah.
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 Which is
the bulky Bucky?
What's skinny Bucky?
Well, I mean, I just mean his normal.
That's my favorite industrial band is Skinny Bucky.
Yeah. But like when he gets...
Ooh, I got it in right under the wire.
Shared an elevator with that guy. I didn't even know it was
him.
When
he gets like, you know...
Marvelish,
yeah.
The Marvelish Miss Mason.
Yeah.
He's marvelous.
Oh, we can do this all day.
It's too much.
And it stars not Anne Hathaway, too.
Oh.
I don't know her name, but it's...
Anne Hathaway?
Almost clone.
Her name is Daisy Edgar Jones.
Yes. Okay. That's it.
Daisy Edgar Jones.
Not exactly a Brundle Hathaway, but it just looks a lot like her.
Okay.
So it's a doppel.
Yes. Doppelway.
Double gangbanger.
It starts off like a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's a horror movie, so it has to go awry.
Oh, no.
So me... kind of talking about what happens next is big spoiler. And
oh
well, do you leave the movie?
Can we do 20 questions?
Feeling well, my thought is like, you know, these kinds of movies make me always, well, you know, I'm already happy to have found my one true soulmate, my dear Freddie here, but also to not have to deal with this shit
you hear and read about. That's the part, like, it's funny
in the dating world.
We just talked to our friend the other day, and she says, like, all the guys on there are just crypto bros, and I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And I like the most thing about this movie is it was modern. It didn't go on a nostalgia trip a lot of horror movies are doing nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's going back to the 80s or 90s now. And although I like it, but at some point I do appreciate originality.
For sure.
At this point more than, you know, just reminding me of things I know I like already. You know, it's refreshing.
Yeah.
Fresh is refreshing. Because
it's truly fresh.
People will say, like, it reminds me of this, reminds me of this, because nothing's really original anymore.
It looks like Us is the thing I thought of. Not Us. I mean, what's the one?
This Is Us?
No, the one that's on Amazon about the two dating each other and he becomes obsessed with her. It was people were talking about during the pandemic like crazy. Where the
you?
You. That's what I meant when I said us. You.
Oh.
Nope.
Who?
Nope.
You know the show You?
Yeah, on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, Netflix.
They're on first, right?
Man, I had all that wrong. I was like, you know, it's on Prime. It's the show. It's animated.
Oh, speaking of that, look up that Laura Ingraham when she couldn't figure out the You.
Was there a who's on first moment? Exactly. Oh, that's fun. She's a goddamn cunt.
She couldn't figure out. She couldn't figure out what exactly.
There was a who's on first moment on her show.
They talked about this topic on You, and like what?
Oh,
you?
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that. Thing, yes. Where she thinks the person's talking about her show, as if on You makes sense grammatically to say on your show on You, because it's called the Laura Ingraham Show. She's I am the Laura Ingraham Show.
Say who? You? Me?
Couldn't be.
So,
oh, I see the confusion.
Yes. So I like that it's modern, and I like how the final girl, she's not like a dreary character. She doesn't have this horrible, sad backstory.
Oh,
that's nice.
She's just a regular chick.
Yeah.
This is fresh.
It's so fresh. That's why it's called that.
And it's kind of. It's disturbing where the places they go, but it's not like gore or anything. It's more of the implied gore.
Oh, it's the implication.
Yeah. The implication. It's like you're on a boat in the middle of the ocean. So like, although there is some gore, but the scariest part is the what you don't see.
Right.
And
it's as usual.
Very satisfying ending. Great performances. I just really like this movie.
All right.
I'm going to make you watch this.
Do you think this is as fresh as the oysters Kelly just ate?
Fresher.
Oh, my God.
I know. Did you eat them straight out of the ocean?
They were taken out of the ocean probably that day.
So it's probably equally as fresh, even though this was released a couple months ago. So this oysters are probably fresher.
Oh.
The picture you guys posted, and I told Kelly this already, but it's how stupid I am sometimes. I saw that stuff on the grill and I thought all those oysters were chicken breasts. And I was like, those don't look right.
It's like your rotten chicken.
If those had been chicken, you would have been right.
Yeah. I have to imagine they were gray.
Yeah. They're rocky looking on the outside. Like, I mean, like they are vaguely shaped like chicken breasts.
It wasn't
breasts.
Even the thing inside. It was just
the whole shell on the grill. Babe.
Yeah.
And then I clicked for me. I was like, surroundings are Washington. It's not chicken. It's an oyster.
And it was.
See, I got there eventually.
You did. You're just fine.
Yeah. I deduced.
You're doing great, babe.
You took a deduce.
I took a deduce in my little pants. My short pants are full.
All right, Andy. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. I highly recommend this movie.
I'm ready based on
your
review.
Like,
it's okay.
It's a little bit precious sometimes, and I know like people don't like precious.
Did you need to compliment sandwich it?
Precious.
I'm just trying to make my review.
You don't want it to get a big head.
All right, Amy, who's watching the next, what is the next movie? And then Andy, you get to spin the wheel.
The next movie is Moloch.
What do I do?
You just tap it.
Oh, I'm trying to swipe it.
Oh my God.
Guys. I swipe left.
Here, I'll help you.
Just
tap for me. Tap that ass for me.
Moloch.
Yeah, Moloch.
It's on Shudder. Mm-hmm. Betriek, I'm doing my best to pronounce that, lives at the edge of a peat bog in the north of the Netherlands. When she and her family are attacked by a random stranger one night, Betriek sets out to find an explanation. The more she digs, the more she becomes convinced that she is being hunted by something ancient.
Oh, right. That sounds good.
Our own Betriek, Kelly, will be watching that.
Kelly!
Yeah.
I want my Betriek.
What's it called?
Moloch.
Moloch. Like the demon.
Yes.
Oh, spoiler.
Get it?
And what's it on?
Shudder.
Soon on Shudder. Moloch.
Clam Shudder.
What you doing?
Stalling.
I used to be like you. A long time. No, perfect. No mistakes, no regrets. People look at you and think of how wonderful your future will be. They want you to be something special, like a doctor or a lawyer. I hate to tell you this, but if you grow up here, you're more likely to wind up selling your bodies on the streets. Or shooting dope from dirty needles in a bus stop. And if you're successful, you'll make money selling junk to crackheads. And you won't think twice about killing someone's wife, because you won't even know what's wrong in the first place.
You should know that he's a hobo with a shotgun talking to a bunch of babies in a neonatal
nursery. In a maternity ward.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And this movie is in the vein of, and it's the second time I've seen this. First time I was not impressed with it very much. Second time I really enjoyed it. But it's very much like the filmmaker's take on the Paul Verhoeven RoboCop.
Yeah.
And Starship Troopers and that sort of vibe.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's what they're going for. Now they don't. Totally. It's not as skillfully done.
I feel like it was like Planet Terror type thing or Machete.
Well, it felt the feeling was very much classic Troma. Like I don't know how they managed to do that across the decades, but it felt like just atmospherically and cosmetically like any Troma movie. I did feel like they tried to shoehorn in. I felt like my favorite Troma movies have like a lot of heart to them. And I feel like they wanted this to, I don't know. I didn't get the same like level of undercover brilliance.
What do you remember years and years ago? Somebody sent us a short film called Treevenge, where the Christmas trees decide to start cutting the people.
Oh, yeah, I like that movie. That's short.
It's the same filmmaker who
really
made this.
Yeah. And, oh, they should have done
tell
that one.
Because I like that a lot, Treevenge.
Yeah.
But I like something like this in maybe a 2-3 minute segment.
Yeah.
But when you make a whole movie of constant barrage of gore and just in-your-face stuff.
Cruelty and violence.
It gets exhausting.
It does. Oh, and it's funny that you made, because this was like one of the trailers from Grindhouse that wasn't on the original theatrical run, I don't think, but it was one of the, I think Hobo with a Shotgun was one
that
of the
makes a lot of sense
that might have come out with the DVD release.
It seems like if they made Thanksgiving into a movie or something, but this if I just saw this movie in segments, I think I would really like it. But when you string it together for like an hour and a half, even though but it felt like 2.5 hours.
It felt so long.
It plotted. It had pacing issues. But I think the last act, well, certainly the whole, you know, finale with the girl with her arm bone sticking out.
Yeah, where her hand gets completely broken.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was great. Like, that stuff was fucking great. The rest of it, I'm like, this is just kind of too much.
Well, it's like there were moments, but then, like you said, I feel like trying to wrap a story around this and then trying to inject some theme or meaning into it.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I'm sorry, Amy, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, yeah, the theme is, like, the world can be hard, but, you know, sometimes when you have family or somebody to back you up, you know, you can blah, blah, blah. Whatever the fuck. I don't even know what I'm saying
now. And the shit about, and just like, I feel like they're trying to say something about like the homeless plight and how, but I didn't really, like it was so.
There was just so much cruelty and like what's the next thing we can do to be like over the top cruel? Yeah.
Here's something, like, I've recently rediscovered some Reddit subreddits like Gorefest, and NSFL, Not Safe for Life.
Oh boy,
I've kind of rediscovered my rotten.com. I'm scratching that itch.
I've started doing a little bit of that myself,
but even this kind of creeps. Made me feel gross. It was just a mean movie.
It's very mean.
Well, I agree with you. That is kind of a mean movie. But I also think a lot of it comes from, I'm really seeing like some, this guy really loves movies so much that he's taking like the whole Charlie Chaplin idea and trying to blend it with RoboCop and like the, you know, like the tramp or that kind of character where literally it's so cartoonish. Like he just wants to buy a lawnmower, presumably to make money.
Yeah. Now I was picking up more Rambo than Charlie Chap. Like I get what you're saying.
Well, Rambo is a foregone conclusion. He's going to go bonkers, but this guy, I don't think is a bad guy.
I don't think John Rambo was a bad guy.
No, I mean like, and I also don't think he's a bad dude as in he came from some sort of tough background or anything.
Right.
I think he's just had a hard life, but he's always tried to do things the right way.
Yes.
And he's the last man standing. He's kind of like if you watch when you watch the new Joker movie, and Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, and you the way the city in Gotham falls apart in that movie feels a lot like a much more well crafted version of the city in this movie.
Yeah,
and I feel like this character really fits in that kind of that vibe of a guy who. He just wants to live.
Yeah.
He literally wants nothing but to live. And the one thing left that he thinks he can do to continue living is raise $49.99 to buy a lawnmower he sees. And he sees it in a shop window with a price tag on it. This is all very old school.
Yeah.
And then I love that when there's all these cues, I can forgive all the cruelty and the extreme aspects of a movie like this because they frame it as this is a movie that exists only in the movie universe. Like there's no reality here at all.
Well, now I get that. The cruelty is, I mean, it's exhausting, but that wasn't so much a problem for me. I just felt like it failed for me on getting across like what you're describing. I think those thoughts may or something like that was happening, but that didn't come through me at all, and it just felt like there was so many like kind of like threads that just like we're just didn't quite tie together. No, and
it,
like
it just felt repetitive.
It did,
and that's the like you brought up the little moments where he's just sees a sign and goes to get a lawnmower, and that's the moments I actually do like about this movie.
Yeah.
Like from the trailer, that speech where he's talking to the babies and giving that speech of how the world's crap and everything.
And they all start crying.
Yeah.
That was pretty
cool. And like the little segments with the newscasters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like those parts, but when it's just constantly in your barrage of gore and just trying to one up the next scene.
Yeah.
It's and like some of the dialogue was really fun. Like the nurse, when she's trying to fix up the main character, she's like, "You better live, you whore," or something like that.
That was hilarious.
I like moments like that.
Yeah, yeah, it had some real good moments.
But it just got buried underneath everything else.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's this thing, and this does go to what I think you guys are saying, where it just is, this is one of these movies, and I feel like it just, I don't feel like they had either the skill or the time or whatever, because I feel like they wanted to push some things into certain directions and then they just couldn't quite get there. And I always feel like, and this is just a quibble, but it reminded me of Blind Fury where, and this just seems like a Rutger Hauer thing where in any other movie, like when they have him eat the glass in this movie, there's a scene where there's this goofy guy that like makes homeless people just degrade themselves. It's Joe Francis. And he tells him to eat his glass. Now, in any other movie, the hobo with a shotgun would act like he was going to do it.
Right.
And then, like, fucking not do it. Just like in the hot sauce in Blind Fury, which I was like, oh, he really ate the hot sauce and it really was too hot. Like, I thought he was going to be like,
this is make toxic it hotter. Masculinity at work. Rutger Hauer is like, no, my dude's gonna just fucking muscle through.
Well, but that's the thing, he doesn't muscle through. I don't know. Maybe I'm the toxic masculinity because he just does it and it hurts him and he's like, and I feel like in a different movie that would be a huge strength. like turning that kind of thing on its head where the underdog hero is actually way more badass than he seems. And this is like, I'm a human being and I'm desperate for this money and I really will debase myself for this in this moment. And I think that's in a movie that actually handles, that's too real of a thing for this movie. Yeah. I think this is where you said this is like a completely non-real universe.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. Too real. The tone of that scene is very heartbreaking.
That is too real. I really needed him to badass out right there in that moment. Like, don't put that glass in your mouth, dude. Like, or spit it back out and be like, ha-ha. Like, in a movie where you're a cartoon, like, he was still too much of a hobo for this to be like cartoonishly awesome for me.
I know what you're talking about. It's the same feeling I get whenever I see that episode of The Simpsons. I think it's a Treehouse of Horror.
Is it like, did somebody mention something about a hot meal?
Yeah, the hobo comes in holding the little hat in his hands and he looks all like kind of like, it's that to me, that scene, it's a drawing. It's an animation. It breaks my fucking heart every time I see it. And it was the same with him eating the glass. It hurts. There are moments in this movie that legitimately hurt.
And I don't think it's earned.
Yeah.
That's like, if that could have been great in like a movie where they could handle that kind of a thing in this kind of environment. But it was just like, that stands out. Yeah. And then there'd be other things that stood out. And it's like, I couldn't decide what it, I don't know.
It's like if, it's an edgelord movie. Because I didn't need to
it
see.
It comes up to that line. I'm
I didn't need
sure.
to see like children being flamethrowed to death.
The school bus full of kids. And I almost forgot about that.
I didn't need to see a.
Fucking shit.
I didn't need to see a Molotov cocktail being thrown at a baby.
You know, can I tell you though, it's Andy, like, that shit actually worked for me.
That worked for me.
It was cartoonish.
It was like that.
Because it makes the stuff he did to Rucker Howard eating the glass, all of a sudden it balances
but
it out.
It's like, it was just overwhelming.
Yeah,
well, on top of everything, I know, but like, it kind of.
It's okay to say these kind of movies aren't for you.
When it's a whole movie of it, it loses the impact, even though I still remember it.
Did you enjoy Toxic Avenger? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'll punch you in your butt.
Yeah, but like that movie had room to breathe. It wasn't a constantly rain of blood.
Yeah, you felt like it had enough downtime from the violent scenes. Because I remember that movie as
having
mostly.
There was actually character development in that, I think.
Well, and I was going to bring up, because I did keep comparing this to the trauma movies that I really like. And like Poltergeist is disgusting from the beginning to the end. I mean, gross. But it's so brilliantly written and acted. And to like some people would think it's just gross. But like if you really, it's...
It worked for you.
It worked. Yeah. Like, and I felt like the passion that went into it, and I felt like these are talented people.
There's a little trauma pixie dust that this movie just didn't get.
Yeah, and like the same with Romeo and Juliet. I think that's absolutely brilliant. James Gunn, of course. And it's gross and weird and gross, but it's so like smart. I felt like this movie just wasn't smart enough.
Oh, yeah. The message, there's no complexity to it at all. It's basically humanity is awful.
Yeah.
And one day they'll push you too far. That's not enough for me.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's just no, I just feel like they don't handle it. Like, again, I feel like some people could have handled that and made that like something you could be like, oh, I got to see all this crazy shit, like kids getting burned up with flamethrowers. And... But then there was this scene, you know, they did these things and it made it like, oh, yes, it reminds me of this. I'm not explaining it well, but what you said about the trauma pixie dust, that's perfect. It just,
there's
it didn't live up.
An indescribable quantity of something.
I mean, I will say, I feel it was well directed.
Yeah.
I feel like some of it was. Yeah.
I thought Rutger Hauer did a great job.
Yeah, Rutger Hauer was great.
The action scenes are actually really well directed. But at the same time, it was poorly directed.
No, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's like Schrodinger's movie. It's bad and good at the same time.
I know what you mean.
There are moments, even not just the action sequences, but like there are things that are deliberately. Again, it goes back to
the Verhoeven thing.
To Verhoeven, but also to one second to Split Second when they go to the apartment. that kind of scene where there's those bizarre moment where she brings him home like that.
Yeah.
And then they have this conversation while she's giving him her bed. Like, I get that. That moment, I do feel like it was deliberately absurd.
Had a nice, clean bed, and then she let a man who has not showered in a very long time get in it.
She let him put a new sweater on his bloody body.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, you can tell, like, he's a good director, but he didn't know how to pull back. You can tell because it's his first movie, because he's, like, very excited that it's his first movie.
Yeah.
So he wants to throw everything against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you got to swing for the fences.
Yeah, like, I can tell, like, his enthusiasm and his passion behind the movie, but at the same time, it's like you gave a 12-year-old a movie camera and he said you could do whatever.
Yeah, when it does,
I wouldn't say it's like the quality of what a 12-year-old.
No, like I'm saying, like the idea behind it.
Oh, I see.
Where he's just gonna do
the
whatever.
The overexuberance. Yeah.
Do you ever watch Axe Cop?
No.
We've seen a few of those.
Go ahead. I'll tell you what. Do you know what it is?
No.
It's a guy who's a comic artist. His little brother, like when he was 5 or something, he just started having him tell him a story, and he made a whole thing out of it.
Yeah.
And they made an animated series. It's Nick Offerman.
Oh, that sounds
called Axe Cop.
Yeah.
And it's literally what Andy's talking about. Huh. That's why I brought it up.
That sounds good. I didn't, like I said, this does feel like a trauma movie. I felt like they captured, like, even like the, what was the woman's name? I can't remember that character's name.
Oh, the
was it Margaret Amorpha?
Our hooker with a heart of gold.
What woman? Abby?
Abby, thank you. Abigail. Yeah. Like, her acting style, like, was so, like, it was very much that low budget, like,
yeah.
It's not good, but it is, like, good for this.
It's not good, but it's
good. It might be deliberately not good. I don't know. Like, it fit completely with the acting style in a lot of those movies that I really do like. So I actually really liked, like, those weird performances. I like the two crazy brothers. Like, as kids, like,
the villains.
I like their goofy, cartoony acting.
Speaking of Tom Cruise, they reminded me so much.
The one
Tom Cruise and Corey Feldman.
I kept thinking that's not like Corey Feldman, is it? I was really not 100% sure.
Weird, right?
I agree.
And they had that. Remember that we were just joking about insults that or compliments that are actually insults.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about their clothes that they were wearing that special time in the late 2000s or early 2010s where it's like, I'm wearing all black, but a bright white belt.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that style, huh?
And I did like how aggressively Canadian it was.
Oh, it was so Canadian. Especially when they're trying to say that hard shit to people.
The guy from Trailer Park Boys pops up in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, Ricky's there.
He gets his head pulled off.
Yeah. I was hoping he was going to be in it the whole time.
Yeah, the other guy has been in a lot of stuff. The guy who plays the, what was his name? The Deuce or the bad guy? The main bad guy had a name. He called himself the...
In what?
The Drake.
Oh, the Drake.
The old guy.
It's
funny because Drake was one of the people at the meetup that said we should do this.
And Drake is Canadian too.
The rapper.
Yeah.
So the Drake, that actor, I thought I recognized him from like Tim and Eric or something, but then I looked it up and he was on that show Lex. Do you remember Lex?
I remember the name of it.
It was kind of like Farscape. It was like more trashy.
Yeah.
But he was in every episode of that.
Oh.
He was the guy with the little, who wore, it looked like the little pillbox hat or whatever you want to call it.
I don't know if I could tell you what any character looked like from it.
From this? From Hobo with a Shotgun? He was the Drake.
No, I know. I mean from Lex.
The costume. You mean wouldn't get the costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm with you. So this is not set in Appalachia.
But I know who you mean in this movie.
And another thing I liked at the end, near the end, the third act, and they have Rucker Hauer in like the prison.
Yeah.
And one of the prison rooms, there's just tentacles flying out of it.
Yeah. I love that.
That was cool.
Yes. Moments like this, I felt it needed more of.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like super silly moments
there's
as opposed to
here.
Like the over the top gore.
Have you seen it the one time just for the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Because my opinion of this movie is vastly different now than it was. I saw it at Horror Hound. And I remember.
See, I feel
like,
this will play really well at a.
I didn't have fun there though.
With a convention, really.
No, it was much better at home with Amy, and maybe have a few beers.
Yeah.
Some popcorn. It was great.
I just feel like it. I think for me, the biggest problem, it felt like the putting of it together was the rushed.
The, like, the proof is in the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding.
Rudy.
I'm the pudding in the proof.
Rudy. I feel like if they maybe had, I don't know that it was rushed, but it feels like if given more time to develop.
Is it Rush Canadian too?
Yeah.
The Rush, band. Yeah, yes. Whoa, Andy.
Very Canadian. All the way like Canadian.
There are too many synchronicities happening.
They're both Canadian. I feel like some more development and some like concision, which is not maybe a word, but
Kelly is jerking off two giants next to him.
He's doing like that.
He's gesturing in a way.
What I'm actually doing is I'm oiling the moon's pubis of a very like an almost giant woman.
Okay.
It's not for sex purposes.
Oh, it's just for keeping it moist.
It's medical. It's like
you're prepping her for something.
It's a process that, you know, I don't, for chafing.
A process?
I like it. Moans.
Are you
pubis.
Canadian?
Aluminium.
Okay.
Bones. Okay.
But anyway, I like the bones of it. I like the bones of this movie.
It's got good bones.
Yeah.
And I just think it was an
remember
idea.
Remember when her bone was sticking out and she was stabbing that guy with it? That was fantastic.
I like that part. I liked seeing her hand. Like, I liked seeing the goofy gore like that. And it was shocking, but it was also cartoony, like Herschel Gordon Lewis.
I should know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you. How do you feel about Tank Girl?
Well, all right. I have a very special place in my heart for Tank Girl. Me and Holly saw it when it opened. We were the only people in the theater. Holly is a huge Tank Girl comics and movie fan. I love that movie. I don't know that it's a good movie. Like,
I'm just saying because this movie reminds me very much of Tank Girl.
I feel like Tank Girl is more successful, but also
much less violent.
Well, it is. Tank Girl is. It's got story problems too. I just feel like this one just kind of was like,
yeah,
like the center that's supposed to hold it together just kind of.
I think about Johnny Mnemonic too. Like, these are movies that have that same problem for me.
Yes, Tank Girl. I do agree.
Yeah, I'm not saying that this movie holds together better than Tank Girl. I'm saying that they have the same brand of falling apart.
Yes,
it's the lack.
I agree.
It's the lack of refining
and cohesion.
You need to refine what you're doing to the, like, it's like when you make a reduction on the stove and you end up with something that's a more intense version of the thing you started with. Like, I think people don't do those second and third passes and really think about the best, like, what their strengths are and how they can really, if it means cutting runtime, I think people need to become filmmakers. I mean, need to become more comfortable with cutting footage.
Your audience is begging you. Shorten your fucking movies. I just watched Eternals last night. Holy ball sacks. Could an hour have come out of that?
How wasn't Maverick 2.5 hours long? Or
it
something?
Didn't feel like
that. It didn't feel that long.
It didn't feel. It that's really a good did. Movie. Like, that
it,
is a
it,
genuinely.
It did feel like two movies, but it felt like two really fast-paced movies.
Yeah, that's a good popcorn movie. Yeah. That is
but
a
this
successful
movie felt
movie.
Like 2.5 hours.
It did. Yeah. It felt so long.
My suggestion is to watch this movie in 2 and 3 minute segments because that's. It's basically it's like they strung a bunch of sketches into a movie.
Well, that's kind of how Tank Girl is actually because Tank Girl's problem is that it's so fractured and they tried to take this comic book that was linear but also not and then force it into this MTV style like movie. So there were connections that to characters that didn't make any sense. They cut things that connected things. So it's just like, who is that? Why is that?
Yeah.
What is this world? Like, so
it's a fine balance between when you do world building and something like this, there's giving the audience nothing or giving the audience just enough to make them curious to want to see more. And like this movie gave you nothing.
Yeah.
Hobo with a Shotgun. Like we just saw something that had some world building in it. Oh, you were just talking about
Eternals.
And I felt like they did a good job of not over explaining it to like right at the, you know, it does start with a crawl, but there's this like, they save all that until you're pretty well into the movie. And I could feel like they came back in and said, we have to give one exposition dump here.
Yeah.
You know, like I can see like the way the heavy workshopping of the scripts where they're just like, what is titillating and interesting and what is so explained that it's dull?
Yeah.
You know, and like, you gotta go for, it's always in the middle. It always has to be something in the middle. It has to be something that titillated me in the beginning where I'm like, ooh, you that's love interesting.
Saying titillate.
Well, and again, I agree. This John Waters is a great example of being able to take ridiculous, over the top, just bonkers shit that really doesn't have a story and somehow makes it feel like a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
there is a pixie dust.
He's thought about it.
There is a something that those people have.
Yeah.
That you can't just like study via masterclass.com.
I feel like this director
maybe
has
we should
some,
stop talking yeah. about it. Right
he has some of it. He just needs some, like, play. He needs no one hold back.
Yeah. There's a lot of great stuff in the movie. Any hoozles. Now that we've covered the entire breadth and depth of Rutger Hauer's career.
All three of his greatest films.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would say that. That's all she wrote,
That's
baby.
All she wrote.
Yeah. Got some patrons here.
Yeah.
patrons.
Patreon.com/NOTLP to find that information. These people are Beelzebub, so we say hi to them every show.
Hi.
Elise.
Hi, I'll see you soon.
Lynn Walsh.
You come from a Lynn Down Under.
Alyssa.
You come from the East.
Brandon and Emily. Them as well.
Also.
Jeffel. I don't know where you live.
Oh, and sorry. Sorry about your kitty, Brandon and Emily.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Wow. She's had a rough year.
So yeah. Sorry to hear about that.
We love you guys so much.
Damn it.
I didn't know you didn't know. I'm sorry.
I don't have access to Facebook.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I forget.
Jeffel, I'm going to say your name again because then you got hijacked by the bad news.
Yeah.
Dustin.
Hi.
I own a good one.
I own a better one, I bet.
Dr. Brian.
I spared no expense on my own.
Bill.
Bill's gone.
Jerk bitch boat.
Jerky bitch boat. What?
That's what we call him. That's
the
nickname
that you settled on?
Jerky
We were
bitch
doing
boat.
The Mad Libs. It was a thing. Mm. It made sense at that moment.
Did he give himself that as his nickname?
Yeah.
So you can't do that.
No, he didn't give it to himself. We were.
You can start a new life and choose your name.
Yeah.
Bill is not breaking the nickname rules, I promise you. Bill Farner, on the other hand, you're under arrest. I don't know what I'm saying.
We got Chipotle coming. She's thinking about that.
I'm hungry. Blake.
Blake, is there any reason we should not be getting Chipotle
Don't
politically?
Tell me. Mark Watts.
Mark, can you think of anything that the people who run Chipotle could possibly have done that will make this complicated for me later in employment?
Everything. Blaine. Having a corporation.
Blaine Yogurt.
Blaine Yogurt.
Jordache Jeans.
So tight. That's Joe. Nothing comes between me and my Jordache.
Paul. Polly G, DJ Polly G.
Nothing comes between me and my Paul.
Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora.
I love the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
And I thought I saw Jeremy on Xbox Live the other day. Saw you on Xbox Live the other day.
Great story, Grandpa.
But I think it. I get his gamer tag mixed up.
We've got Ernie.
Someone else's.
Then we've got Dave Siebert.
Oh, Dave.
Michael Burns.
I don't see Burt's.
And finally.
And I'm.
I see Ernie's.
Monica.
What up, girl?
We done did it, y'all. Yay.
It's been done dead.
All We're right. going to start a whole new theme for August. I don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
Ooh. Bye.
Bye, buddy.
If he should go to bed when his old boss